Hi, podcasters. This is Brooke with Let's Talk Art. Today I'm talking art with Louise Fetter of the Michener Art Museum in Doylestown, Pennsylvania. We're talking about the Lloyd May Local Color Exhibition that will go on until September 11th, 2016. We're still in the process of lining up sponsors for Let's Talk Art with Brooke, but in the meantime, if you'd like to support the podcast, please look for my book Reptiles on Caffeine on Amazon. Enjoy the podcast. Hey, Louise, this is Brooke Buskerman. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Thanks for calling.
Doing good. Awesome. Thanks for chatting with me. I appreciate it.
No, of course. This will be fun.
Awesome. Awesome. So, who is Lloyd? Is it Lloyd Ney or Nye?
It's Nye, actually. And, of course, he went by Bill, which makes things extra...
extra confusing, yeah.
but he was a painter who was local to New Hope, really from the late 20s through the early 60s. Mm-hmm. And he was really well-known regionally, which is exciting for us, but had a really fascinating, wide-ranging career that took him to France, to the Bahamas, to,
wow.
to Mexico. excuse me. And worked as a New Deal artist, but also was one of the artists in the founding collection at the Guggenheim, which was really this whole history that was untold. This is the first show of his work since his death, so it was a nice moment for us to be able to highlight someone who's so central to our region, but with a wide-ranging history.
Right, right. Well, I read about his time in France, but I didn't know he was, like, in Mexico and the Bahamas. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's wild. He would leave a New Hope on select winters and sort of pack up.
Right. pack up his well, it is cold feet. There.
Well, I always thought it was unfair. His wife would stay.
Oh, that's not fair.
He would go to warmer climates and paint.
Oh, okay.
And come home. His letters back to them are a trip, too. They're so much fun. He'll tell them all about sort of what's going on and other scenes. But he's also, he was a landlord for certain properties in New Hope, and so would write, you know, about plumbing issues, and this tenant late on his rent.
Oh.
talk to him.
That's funny. I read about, he was in France. Was he there, like, in the heyday of, like, Hemingway and Fitzgerald?
He really was, yeah. And as far as I can tell, it was interesting because he would really interact with other painters, but I never found out if he was interacting with writers as well. One can only assume.
Right.
Because France in, you know, 1925 is,
right.
is amazing.
Yeah, yeah. I know Matisse hang out with them, but I don't know about anyone else. But, But yeah, that's awesome. So it said your press release said that he's an innovator known for pushing boundaries and stirring up controversy. What kind of boundaries and what kind of controversy?
So for those who aren't familiar, the Berks County region is really well known for Pennsylvania Impressionist painters. People tend to be familiar with the Phillips Mill section, art colony, and so people like Garber and Lathrop and Redfield are all relatively well-known in our museum. That's a core part of our collection. But Nye really was the start of a group of modernists coming to the same region and sort of, not angrily, but sort of congenially butting up against an art tradition that was at that point very well-established, very well-recognized, and moving into more abstract realm.
Right.
And Nye himself was a real champion of non-objective painting, mm-hmm. and he was a real follower of Kandinsky, you can
yeah.
tell,
like
his own writing.
yeah.
But really tried to push what art in this region meant, but also how people wrote about and thought about art. He really was, I think, at his core, someone who should have been an art historian. He loved to write about art and loved to look at sort of big picture art history. Excuse me. And also really saw pure abstraction as sort of the pinnacle of what painting should be. But he recognized that that was going to be a hard sell for most of his audiences. So
right.
he wrote at length about what it meant to do pure abstraction, non-objective painting, but also abstracted works that would maybe be more accessible to a general audience, and what that meant about getting people more engaged with modern art, which is fascinating.
Right.
He had a whole manuscript that went unpublished talking about how to look at art and what it meant for people who didn't spend time going to museums, and that you should still be able to produce art that's challenging and interesting and modern without dumbing things down, which were sort of his words about Impressionism and the style of the Academy.
Yeah.
So in terms of controversy, his career was sort of punctuated by a few larger commissions. Where when he first came to New Hope, was commissioned by a friend who had an ice cream parlor to do three huge murals, and he was told he could paint whatever he wanted, and he said, I will. made these three wild, they're really colorful murals that depicted local townspeople and the landscape, but in his own style, so very colorful. The geography, of course, doesn't make, you know, map sense, but is sort of bringing a very familiar, you know, paintings of the river, which is what the Impressionists would do, paintings of people going about their day, but in with a modern sensibility, and it was sort of the talk of the town for a long time. People would hang out on the steps of the shop and debate art until, like, wee hours of the morning. They had to chase people away.
That's awesome, though.
So that was sort of how he initially made his mark as someone who's willing to sort of push boundaries in town. And then around the same time, he was rejected from the second annual Phillips Mill exhibition, which now is a major art exhibition for our region, but at that point was still obviously very, very new, and was rejected because his use of red on a bridge was deemed too garish. So he was rejected, and he and a few of his modernist peers, which are called the New Group, in our area, started a rival exhibition that opened the day before the Phillips Mill show.
Right.
Sort of their own salon refuse that stole most of the press. It really, but because everybody lives together, these conversations happened, you know, all the time. It happened in the street. It happened when they were meeting up with the same group of painters for over dinner in town.
Mm-hmm.
So it really wasn't an antagonistic relationship. It was one that was just purely based in style, which is interesting, reading everybody's letters.
Yeah.
And then sort of the third big controversy was his New Deal commission for a New London, Ohio post office, where he was awarded a runner-up prize to a section of fine arts program in St. Louis, where his design for a much larger new post office wowed the judges, but was inappropriate for the space, and so they awarded him a much smaller space in New London, Ohio, and he turned in what became arguably one of the most contentious commissions to the section of fine arts. This is separate from the WPA. It's still New Deal, but this was run through the Treasury Department.
Right.
And it turned into him visiting New London multiple times to learn about the town's history. Mm-hmm. It turned into him going down to Florida to meet with the New Deal administrator in his home unannounced.
Everyone loves that.
Oh, I know. It's a totally different time. He went to the post office to find the address for the administrator and went home, and then over the course of 3 days argued about what was appropriate for the public, what abstract art meant to communities that aren't urban.
Mm-hmm.
It's fascinating. It's all similar issues that I feel like come up all the time now he was dealing with in the 30s and 40s, and eventually they caved in one of the letters that just said, what the hell, let him have the commission. And so it went up, and the town was incredibly proud of it. It was a moment that they saw as this little man versus the government getting this amazing mural. It's still there.
Right.
And the cartoon for that mural is in our museum's lobby.
Cool.
Yeah.
So you had said that the public was, they weren't, modernism was not a good, it was a hard sell to them. So why do you think that? I mean, just because it's different, obviously people are quick to accept change, but I mean, like, why do you think they were just not accepting of it?
I mean, I think what Nye was worried about and what people, you know, there's still conversations about getting audiences into art spaces that are not necessarily the familiar. I mean, there's comfort in representational, right?
Right.
I mean, I think there's a whole, you know, and then there's nothing wrong with wanting to see art that is something you can recognize, a beautifully painted picture of a person or an object or a space. But I think what Nye was concerned with was helping people see what it could be beyond that. And he knew that the people in this region were very open-minded to lots of different styles, but how do you get people excited about and invested in pure abstraction?
Right.
Unless you've really, you know, gone to Paris in the 20s at that point, or have been very interested, or spending a lot of time in New York or a major city, or, you know, other cultural circles can be jarring.
Right.
So finding ways to bring that to a smaller community was exciting for him.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's really interesting. And I think it's, I don't know, when I think of abstract art, it's hard to believe that they did that back then. But, like, when I look at, like, people like Kandinsky and him, Lloyd Nye, they just seem so ahead of their time. They just seem so modern.
Yeah, I think there's something about abstraction that will always feel contemporary, you know, because it's not like you're looking at a depiction of a particular moment in time. And if it is pure abstraction, which really at its essence is, you know, shape.
Right.
Unless you're looking at the actual painting in person, you can see condition or real timely connections to other work that you know is grounded in a certain time period. I think it will always feel sort of independent of other context, which is what Nye thought was so fascinating. He thought it would be the one style that would always be relevant because it was so, he hoped, was so divorced from history, really.
Right.
Yeah.
Because everyone else was doing, like you said, representational, and just, you knew, like, it was a picture of a person. You knew it was a picture of a person. So that's...
Yeah.
That's what they were
used
to.
Which isn't to say that Nye didn't do that, too. And that was what he thought was interesting, was he saw that he felt that an artist should be able to push boundaries of what art could be. And in his mind, he had found the end of style, which is amazing vote of confidence in himself that he had found the end style. But also that people would still always want portraits, would always want some... you know, documentation of what life is like. So in the show, we have examples of his non-objective work, but also we're trying to tell the story of what it was like for Nye living in New Hope and being such a huge part of that community. So there are portraits in his amazing, colorful, graphic sensibility. There are depictions of local churches. There are depictions of town committee meetings, which are a riot because he annotates them, so you know that they're fighting about and who was there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a real, you get a sense of what his priorities were, and for him, it really does seem like his priorities were really both formal and local. He was working for two very distinct audiences concurrently.
Right. I think that's great, and I think it's good that you said that you said he wrote a lot of books.
Well, unpublished, but they're fascinating, and it's really a testament to his wife and daughter. They kept his papers in amazing order, and were working with the Philadelphia Project subset of the Archives of American Art.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go and read his impassioned manuscript that has exclamation points throughout about what it meant for a community to love art, what it meant to bring art education to children, to adults, to artists. He did a children's manuscript in the show that is just amazing. He wanted to do a book for children about composition, about art history, about color. And it's so, it's so of its era, but in a lot of ways it's really ahead of its time. He's working in the 50s and 60s on art education for children, which is...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which is what we talk about all the time.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. I mean, so many of our summer camps have been using this show because he's writing at length about things that we think are a real need now. He worried about kids in school not seeing enough art and not being able to practice art enough, and how do you make things feel exciting and relevant for them? How do you work with color and make it accessible but also not lose the seriousness of what you're doing?
Right. Well, and you said they're unpublished? Is there...
They are, yeah. It would be amazing if they were published. I mean, it's a treasure that the Archives of American Art, and our museum has some of its papers as well. So you can...
Right.
They can be found. It's just they're not.
Oh, you guys should publish them. That sounds awesome.
That would be a trip. Well, I have to say, too, I wrote my master's thesis on Nye. So for me,
did
this
you?
Was a huge... I did.
I bet.
Mostly on his New Deal commission. So it was a real treat to be able to bring, the chances of people actually seeking out a graduate thesis for leisure reading is low.
Yeah.
But being able to bring that to a wider audience has been really special.
Yeah. Oh, so this is like right up your alley.
It was a treat. It was a real treat to work on the show.
Yeah. Well, he seems, like I said, I've never heard of him, but he sounds like an amazing guy, and I'm very excited to have, been introduced to him. I think this exhibition sounds great.
Oh, thank you. I'm biased, but I agree. It's wonderful for us because we are a regional museum, but we've been really, with a number of shows we've been working on, thinking about what it means to work within a certain region, but think beyond that. So Nye is a great test case for that because you can look at someone who has amazing local ties but with a career that, physically reaches beyond the Delaware Valley. But also we have a Steve McCurry exhibition up, so we're able to look at artists who are from Pennsylvania, from the Philadelphia area, whose careers have taken them to many different places. So we're really able to think what it means to be regional, what it means to be local, because I think that's a question that so many institutions and communities are struggling with right now.
Right. So since he is a local, local star, I guess, did you have a lot of these paintings in your, in the museum's collection?
The museum has a number of his works, yeah, so that was a treat, partially because we have the cartoon for the mural, which is large,
yeah.
That dominates our lobby, so that's been a visitor favorite for years. But we do have about 10 other works by him in our collection that were part of a real major gift to the museum years ago by the Lenfest. And when people think about the Lenfest gift to the Michener, they also tend to think about the Pennsylvania Impressionist works, which are amazing and are on permanent view in our galleries. Mm-hmm. But they did also collect the modernists like Nye, so it was really special to be able to bring those up as well. excuse me. But the bulk of the work in the show, it was a real privilege for us, are owned by Nye's granddaughter and grandson, who've been keeping them in exceptional condition and passed down to them from their mother.
Oh, wow.
So the family collection has never been exhibited publicly, so this is the first time they've been seen, really since Nye passed. So it's been a real treat.
Yeah. That sounds exciting. And that's got to be tough, keeping those paintings for that long, just keeping them in such pristine condition.
It's amazing, the stewardship that this family has taken for Nye's, the bulk of Nye's work. I mean, he was incredibly prolific, so there are many other collectors of Nye with beautiful examples, but there's been something so special about showing works from a family who understood exactly what Nye's place in the local community was, what his studio was like, what his home was like. He had plans for a museum, I should mention, of his own work. That never truly came to fruition, but the plans for that were kept by the family and are in the exhibition. So you can see how Nye wanted his work to be hung, how he wanted people to talk about his work after his death. It's
You don't really have much control over that.
Family.
So that sounds really cool. I think that's so cool that his family's so a part of this, so a part of just, I don't know. I think that's
well, his daughter was also a painter, and I think that helped because she really understood what he would have wanted, and they were exceptionally close.
Right.
And she, in turn, was very close with her two children, the granddaughter who went on to become a designer, really understood the gravity of what it meant to care for her grandfather's work, and her grandson, his grandson, was so also close to the mother and close to the family that they understood how to take care of it and what that legacy looked like.
Mm-hmm.
And they were so excited to finally be able to have a moment to share that with the community as well.
Yeah, I think that's great. So he said his granddaughter and his daughter, did you say, are painters as well?
His daughter, Gretchen, was a painter. She passed a few years ago. And his granddaughter, Odile, was a fashion designer for years.
Cool.
That's a very artsy family. They're all exceptionally talented.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing.
Runs in the genes. That's awesome. That's very cool. So what's next for you guys? What other exhibitions are coming up?
Oh gosh, we have a really busy year coming up. We have one show that's looking at the legacy of Impressionism in our area.
Mm-hmm.
It's very timely, following the Nye show.
Yeah.
Looking at what Impressionism in this region has meant to contemporary artists, what it meant for Impressionists who came to the area, and then their style slowly evolved into a more modern aesthetic. So that's very exciting. That's called The Death of Impressionism with a very big question mark.
Exactly.
Innovation in art. And that opens in November.
Uh-huh. It's kind of a juxtaposition to this.
I'm working on a show about Ray Sloan Braden, who was one of the Pennsylvania Impressionists, looking at his work in the area, what it meant with him within the art colony. That's opening in February.
Mm-hmm.
And in March, we're so excited. We're having a show on Charles Sheeler that my colleague Kirsten Jensen is working on, looking at his fashion photography, which so rarely gets talked about.
Oh, that's awesome.
And what that meant in terms of him as a painter.
Yeah.
And making connections between the actual garments, his photography, and his painting. So that's opening in March 18th.
Wow.
There's a litany of other things. Those three projects are exceptionally exciting for us.
Yeah, totally. So how did you get involved with curating?
Oh, gosh. Long road. So I've been at the Michener for a number of years. I came here first as a researcher when I was in graduate school because, as I mentioned, I was researching Nye. And got introduced to the library and archives, and while I was here, sort of fell in love with the collection, so took on a series of internships and then a job within the museum that slowly transitioned over to curatorial work. So I've been in the department for, I guess just over a year at this point. It's been a full, wonderful year.
Yeah. Sounds exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting. It's a great region to work in.
Yeah. So have you always lived in that recent region?
Oh, no. No, I lived in, Connecticut, New Jersey, and then, Connecticut, California, then New Jersey, then Central Pennsylvania, and then Philadelphia. But my husband's side of the family is all from this region as well, so I've become familiar with it over the past 11 years.
Right.
So it was a homecoming of sorts.
Right. Well, that sounds really exciting.
Oh, thank you.
So, yeah, and Lloyd and I sounds amazing, and I'm so glad I found him. So glad
I'm thrilled. I'll be the Lloyd and I champion, I think, until people stop caring. But he's a really fascinating figure. I think his art, really, he works in so many different styles that usually there's at least one work in the show that appeals to just about everybody.
Right.
He's a real local treasure who think if you've lived here long enough, people tend to know who he is, but they don't know necessarily the depth and breadth of his career. So
right.
It's exciting to really tell that story.
Yeah, tell the story. Yeah, people need to know. So, well, I found one picture, that he did in Paris, I guess. The Drinkers, is that what it's called?
And that one is so special. We have, within that unpublished manuscript, he writes at length about how when he was working on that painting, everything sort of clicked for him, where he realized that his training at the Pennsylvania Academy of the Fine Arts was no longer what felt really relevant for him. It was what he'd been seeing in France, and as he's working on that canvas, his style shifts. So he writes about what it meant to paint the marble table, what it meant to paint the cup, and all of these things that have been sort of floating around for him over the past however many months really coalesced in that painting.
Mm-hmm.
So for him, it was a really seminal work. In his, to him personally, but also if you look at the trajectory of his career, that's sort of the pivotal piece.
Right, right. That sounds awesome. I saw that and I really liked it. And I like the ones that you guys sent me too, or the ones that are in your archives, in your exhibition.
Oh, good. Yeah, that's in the show.
Yeah.
The Drinkers is in the show too.
Awesome. Cool. Good. Yeah, I was going to ask. Thank you so much to Louise Fetter for telling us about the local color exhibition and introducing us to Lloyd Nye. And thank you to you for listening. I know I learned a lot. If you're in the Doylestown area, check out the gallery. Thanks for listening.
Let's Talk Art with Brooke is a Hotspur Enterprises media production.